Smut and Sensibility is an erotic book club that is not safe for work.
Unless you work in a horny business, in which case, crank this shit.
Also, all characters described are of the legal age of consent and fully into their sensual adventures.
So sit back, relax, and let's consensually do this.
I didn't want to hear you crying today, but everything is what it is.
Kickball change, yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name is David Laws.
I'm Liz McMonagle.
This is Smut and Sensibility. It's an erotic book club. And today, you guessed it, I'm really glad that you came up with a theme song because I could not for the life of me remember the Parks and Rec theme song. I had The Office stuck in my head.
100%. And it's easy to get those two
confused. It's a good, they're both very good theme songs.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But we're not fucking talking about The Office today.
No, suck it, we're Office.
Talking about Parks and Recreation,
mm-hmm.
which I like.
I love. So here's the thing. Greg and I watch Parks and Rec and Office and The Office maybe without fail nightly. Like every single night we either watch a couple episodes of The Office or we watch a couple episodes, a couple episodes of Parks and Rec. And so I was looking for crossovers because truthfully they are two of our favorite shows. And so I was like,
you couldn't find anything?
Nothing. I was like, you know who I want to see go? You know what I want to see? I want to see Ron Swanson and probably some Michael Scott, or like Michael Scott and like Leslie Knope. Brilliant.
Oh, that's
you
what
would,
I want to see. I want to see two bosses.
Mm-hmm. Being bossed. Oh, it would be fantastic. But guess what? It doesn't exist. So we should write one. But you know it does exist?
A lot of Parks and Rec fanfic.
So much Parks and Rec fanfic.
You know what I've read recently and I'm sure is true is that people watch the same shows over and over again because it helps minimize anxiety because you already know what's going to happen.
I read that too and I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
That tracks. I'm about to finish the Blacklist again and was like, yep, that tracks because it's definitely a lot scarier the first time we watch a TV show. And then you're like, oh, this is a scary scene, but that's okay because I know what's going to happen.
I know how it ends.
And sometimes the scary part is people talking to strangers.
I haven't watched that.
Yeah, first of all, don't get me started on the Blacklist because I will get started on the Blacklist. Second of all, don't get me started on the Blacklist because then you're going to know my other weakness and find Blacklist fan fiction and I'm going to be really unhappy at you.
As you were speaking, I wasn't paying attention and instead I was writing down the Blacklist, find fanfic.
Don't. Delete it. Erase it.
I won't. It's already happened. It's already started.
Oh, no. I have a big talent crush on Megan Boone, who's the main character in that, and a big talent crush on James Spader. It's probably safe to say my crush on Megan Boone is a little on the spectrum of talent crush to real crush is a little crushier.
Sure.
Doesn't help that she looks and shares a name with my wife.
Your wife?
So let's do some Borat fan fiction.
But like, I feel like Borat is fan fiction. Like Borat, it would just be us watching Borat.
Which I'm also okay with.
Same.
But we're not. We're going to do Parks and Rec.
Yes. I can't wait.
So our piece today, we have two pieces here.
It's a two-parter.
And it is not a two-parter. And we will discuss that when the time comes. It's really not. That is a decision that you have made because Liz went, all right, here's my entry. And I went, okay. And then Liz texted me this morning and said, oh, by the way, here's more.
Yeah,
and
we're also doing
arguably worse. but let's talk about the titular entry for this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's called I Mustache You If You Want More Meat.
Brilliant.
By Keshia 515. here on fanfiction.net. And here's the I have to farts. All right, so tell us the summary because I gotta fucking dissect this bad boy.
Well, first I'm gonna read. I'm gonna go ahead and read the little blurb at the top. So
yes,
Donna wakes up in the worst place she could ever think of waking up, and the memories just won't go away. A current one shot for a friend. I will possibly continue.
How did we do this?
I don't know. I don't know, but I want to have friends who ask me to write fan fiction. I don't have any yet, and I want them.
You want to have friends who ask you to write fan fiction.
For them.
You don't want to ask your friends to write you fan fiction.
Well, maybe.
I know some authors. I bet I could ask them.
Maybe I do. Here's what I want, honestly. I want that Leslie Knope, Michael Scott crossover. That's what I want.
Put it out into the universe.
That was me putting it out
in the
universe.
Affirmation stuff.
All of our listeners, I want you to write me fanfic. And I want it to be Michael Scott and Leslie Knope.
In each other's offices.
Oh.
Not orifices, which I almost said, also orifices.
Wouldn't be bad. Wouldn't hate it. So
And then there's a little author's note here.
Mm-hmm. Disclaimer, I do not own Parks and Rec, and this is for Jennifer. I hope you like it.
I hope you like it. I hope you like this. I wrote you some fan fiction. I hope you like it.
This is exactly
what are you talking about?
I
don't know
that
it is. I don't know that it's. That's the thing. That's where I start to get a little worried about this relationship is a lot of the other ones have been like, remember the Animal Crossing one, rest my soul, was like, oh my God, who's fucking calling me twice in a row while I'm recording a podcast?
It's probably your food.
Hello? Yes.
Is it your food?
How are you?
Oh.
I'm all right. Thank you. It's fine. How about grape soda? Is that okay? Yes. Let's do cherry then. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Bye.
How dare they? They
that
didn't
was my
have
food
grape?
Order telling me the two things that they didn't have in my order, one of which was Dr. Pepper. And so I'm just going to have wine instead.
Great. Well, no, you didn't. You got cherry.
No, I got a cherry like fruit snack because they didn't have.
What are you ordering
I don't remember
got a
what
fruit
kind.
Snack?
It's like fruit leather. It's tasty.
From where?
From the bodega, from the deli down the street. Don't hate.
No, I wasn't judging. I was just picturing what the flavor, like I was like trying to picture what you had ordered. And then I was like, okay, is it grape? Okay, what's grape that I know of? And then you were like, no, then never mind. I'll get cherry. And I was like, I don't know.
Don't even worry about it. Okay.
Anyway.
Was a lot of the fan fictions in the past have been like, you know, my friend said that they didn't have erotic Animal Crossing fan fiction, so I wrote it for them. Or like, this was a birthday present, and I assume that they're going to like it. This is just like, hey, here you go, Jennifer. I hope you like it.
Hey, it's a Tuesday. I wrote this for you.
Hey.
Enjoy.
It's for a friend. I wrote it for you. It's a current one shot.
Well, I went on such a journey for this because I was like, okay, Ron Swanson, like, I figured there was going to be a lot of like him and Leslie or like, you know, maybe him and Ann Perkins. I figured there was going to be like some Chris Traeger Ann Perkins. There is a lot, but like it's not a lot of it is rated M. And so, but this one, I was like Ron Swanson and Donna Meagle. I can get behind that. That sounds awesome.
That's the thing. Let's put it out on the table. Immediately, I like this piece. I don't love it.
Me
I almost
too.
Said love it. I don't love it. I really like this piece. And I like Ron Swanson's sensual.
Mm.
And Donna Meagle's pretty sensual too.
Mm.
But like those facts surprised me.
Really? I could see it.
Well, but I'm not as you know, I've watched Parks and Rec. I've probably watched the entire series maybe twice, but I'm not as faithful a follower, it sounds like, as you are.
Yeah, we are. We definitely
so let's,
are.
Let's talk about the piece itself.
Let's dive in. So
in I Must Ask You If You Want More Meat,
Donna
Meagle wakes up in the morning and she finds that she is in the bed of and with Ron Swanson, her boss.
Yeah. Her boss. Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. And she's everything's very raw, right? She's been drinking. She can remember all the sexual stuff that happened. And it's a little embarrassing, but really what's embarrassing is how much she liked it. She liked it a lot. She's got a personal motto of use him, abuse him, and lose him. And this doesn't track for Donna Meagle. So she gets out of there. She goes home. She's going to take a shower. And then she it's really interesting, right? We've talked about porn without plot. And I wouldn't even necessarily say that this has plot as much as it has a lot of really interesting exposition.
Right. Yeah.
Right. She goes home and she undresses and she basically surveys the damage, right? She's got bruises, she's got bites, her hair's all disheveled. Oof. Liz, holy shit.
What?
I had a Sherlock Holmesian style memory palace moment in this piece.
Okay.
With the line, first and foremost, her hair was a mess. If she remembered correctly, when they were in certain positions, Ron would card his fingers through her hair and roughly use it to gain leverage. Do you remember that?
Of what? Do I remember what?
We had another piece that used the phrase. No.
Do you remember that? I was from last Friday? Yes.
No. Do you remember we had another piece where somebody carded their fingers through somebody's hair? And I was like, is that a typo? Is that a word? Is that?
No.
I don't understand. But I guess it's a thing. I couldn't find any more about the phrase itself, but I did re-dive into the annals.
I think you mean
annals. I probably do in this case mean the annals of our history. And it's from Conflict Resolution with Iron Man and Captain America. Steve Carr, where is it? I gotta find it.
Oh, you did your research. You were like,
I couldn't not.
Yeah.
Steve carted his hand through the black hair, pulling slowly up insistently. I guess that's just a phrase.
I mean, I've never used it, but that doesn't mean it's not a phrase.
Would you use it? Would you say, card your fingers through my hair, baby?
Yeah. Now I will, now that I know that I'm using it correctly. I'd be like, you know what's going to get me really off? Please card my hair. Card it. Card your fingers through my hair.
I don't know if you card the hair.
Card your hair. Damn it. I used it wrong. I did it incorrectly already. Jeez.
Anyway, that was just a fun little side quest for me.
That was very, I liked that journey.
For you.
For me.
She gets dressed. She goes into work and she's feeling awkward, right? She's realizing how open her desk space is, and she's getting questioned by Tom Haverford about where she went last night. What happened? Where'd you go?
Yeah. What up, girl?
And very Aziz Ansari.
I
don't want to do an impression. Do you?
No. No one can. No one should.
But Donna, all she's got is a headache and some heartache.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Okay.
What, you don't?
That was not my favorite line, but we'll talk.
Ugh. All right. So Ron comes in. She is transfixed by his mustache. She wants to feel it again.
Yep.
And so Tom asks Donna to lunch, and then Ron, and here's where the scene shifts for me. This is a pretty hefty shift where she's like, all right, I'm distracted, but let's go. And then Ron's like, hey, where are you going? Didn't you say that you'd only be eating with me from now on? And he pulls her into his arms, and the language just gets no innuendo. All innuendo. You ask me if I really enjoyed meat and wanted an extra large serving. I remember taking you up on that offer and enjoying it immensely, but I never finished my meal. It seemed that someone cleaned my plate before I could finish. And so then they kiss. And then Tom and Donna leave, and Ron says, be careful, Tom, that's my woman you're taking with you. And she, and the narration agrees, yep, she was his woman. It's a little possessive there at the end.
We'll talk about that too.
Let's talk about it. That's all that happens. You know, there's not actually any, there's not any sex in this one. There's the memory of sex and the implication of sex, but there's no active boinking.
There's no shboinking and spelunking, and I missed it. I dove into this expecting the most animalistic, raunchy, which it clearly was, but I'm sad that I didn't get to participate. I didn't get to read it, but I get to read the aftermath. Which, is hot.
You get to read the memory. You get to read the, the burning impression of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, like,
that's not hot for you?
Looking back on it and reading it again now, I can, with Airy Reed, I am happy that it happened. I'm happy that I continued to read it, and I'm happy that, like, it's cool. Was it the hot thing that I dove in when was asking for in the first place? No, but it'll do.
That's a fair point. You're right. You know? Yeah, you're right.
Like, it was cool. I will say it was like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the first time that the coital yumminess happened before we happened before. And now we're just like living in the past, like living in the moment after the fact.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which
and
was
that's why when you sent me something else, I thought maybe it was an actual chapter two or epilogue or something else, because like, or prologue even, right? This feels like you could also write the sex. You could also write what their relationship
like the
turned
night?
Into. Yeah. A couple weeks later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause this is a relationship one.
Yes.
Right. This is not a sex one as much as it is. Right. This is more in line with our Schitt's Creek episode or even our Toy Story episode, to be honest. Like, it's I guess not the Toy Story as much, but it's like these people want to have a relationship.
Yes. It feels more oomphed.
It's very grounded.
It is very grounded. I was going to use that word. And I was like, is that the right word? I used
did you say oomphed?
Mm hmm.
It feels oomphed to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, and that's part of why I had trouble with the second piece, is because this piece is so grounded and it comes from such, right, like, of the zany sort of shows that there are in this style, Parks and Rec is pretty grounded, right?
For sure.
It takes place in a government building.
Yep.
It's, you know, quote unquote real people. It's got its wacky characters. It's got its Chris Pratts and its.
But it's all ground. Like, it's in. It feels real. It doesn't feel like it's like hoity doity do. Like, it doesn't feel like
The Office gets stupider sometimes.
Yeah.
The Office sometimes feels like Howard. Like, Michael Scott evolved from an asshole to too dumb to breathe.
Yeah.
And I think none of the main characters do in Parks and Rec.
The biggest like red flag for me was when Dwight Schrute turns and follows his GPS into a lake.
Yeah.
And he's
right.
he's like, this is what I have to do. And you're like, no, Dwight, you're smarter than that. Like, you would have.
You know better than
you
that.
You know better.
Dummy.
You're not going to just like, oh, here's where I turn. Of course, it's leading me to the water. And you're like, no, you are better than this.
I bet it's happened in real life.
Well, not to me yet, and
I think that's why I found it a little difficult, was like, I can really visualize these characters.
Me too.
It's hard. Right? Fortunately, I mean, Nick
Offerman
uh-huh. It is so that character that 100%. It feels okay to not separate them. He's also a very sex positive person, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that about him?
Yes.
Do you know that quote that he said with his wife?
Megan Mullally?
Yeah.
No.
Someone asked them, like, what's the secret to a long, healthy marriage? And he was like, this and this and a healthy diet of each other's genitals. And I was like, yes, Nick Offerman. Get down there.
Have you read his book?
No. Have you?
It's brilliant. Yes.
Do they talk about
yes.
stuff?
Well, he talks about just like how fucking awesome his wife is. And then they do. I mean, they have such a good sexual relationship.
I have a cast member of Drunk Shakespeare who's always like, that guy, you see that guy? And I'll be like, yeah. And she'll be like, that guy eats ass. And I don't know what the sort of like demarcation is in her mind, but I can usually see where she's coming from. And Nick Offerman needs ass.
100% he does. If that is what Megan wants, and if that's what he's in the mood for, and there is no shame, and I love that.
And by immediate association, that's the thing. That's the real thing. Is that like also Ron Swanson eats ass for sure.
100% he does.
And so Go ahead.
No. I mean, he has what, three wives all named Tammy? No, Tammy 1, Tammy 2.
He has had Tammy 1 and Tammy 2. And then
his third wife, Xena the Warrior Princess. Diane? I want to say her name is Diane. But it's like Diane Tammy is her middle name.
Funny show. Funny show. Ha-ha.
So good. It's so good. So and
You didn't like it or you didn't love it?
I didn't love it. I liked it a whole lot.
Because I didn't love it either. Yeah.
Right. Like, I was waiting. I wanted the sexy time. And so I found the sexy time in our second piece.
I thought in my mind that the sexy time came back. And I got really confused because I read this a while back and then I reread it today just to refresh myself. And I thought that now I'm really Nelson Mandela-ing myself. Did I read something else where they went into his office and smashed? Or was I just having a premonition of the second piece that you said?
I think it was a premonition.
Oh, geez.
They don't.
Well, let's finish talking about this one. Great. And then we can talk about that one. Because this is, what are the themes?
David, bruising.
You know it. No, you know it. Because you sort of reacted to it. Okay.
When did I react to it? Carding of the fingers?
We were talking about possession.
Ooh, I don't like that.
It gets a little possessive and you don't like that. I don't like the possessive.
I do not. When people refer to someone as theirs, like I am his woman or I am your man. Oh, that's my man. No, you're not.
Really?
I hate that. That is true.
I'm sure there's a line there, right? Where like Greg is your husband.
Sure. Like I refer to him as my husband. Yeah. But I'm not like I own you. No. And that's how I equate the two. And I guess I go from 0 to 1,000 very quickly, clearly.
I think we've talked about this. Yeah. Cause I had a phase in college where I was really into marking and I liked,
I thought about you
using bite marks and stuff. And oh yeah. For me, this piece is great.
Yeah. I was like, he fully marked her, which is very Ron Swanson also. Like, I'm amazed that he didn't, brand her with a cow, whatever. What do you call it? Like, one of those Bernie things. He has an RS.
With an iron? Yeah.
Yeah.
An RS in her butt. I can see that.
I totally could. Like, it doesn't even faze me. Like, I absolutely.
Maybe they do
like,
later.
Maybe that's where it goes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'd be all in. That'd be great.
Oh, my God.
I want them to, like, fuck in her car, too, because it's so precious to her. Like, her car throughout the series is, like, such a thing.
Yeah, so I think that's part of the theme is this possessiveness, and, like, she really likes it. We can only hope that she reciprocated and that he's got some marks as well, but obviously he's going to, like, bear them differently than she does. It's so interesting, and really, there's some sort of theme about masculinity and femininity in this piece, because that's, like, Ron Swanson's shtick, right? He is masculine. He is the epitome of masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna Meagle is not... I would not categorize her as the epitome of femininity. I think she has a lot of masculinity as well.
Agreed.
She has a lot of femininity.
She's a boss bitch.
And I like when other people bring out the highlights of either masculinity or femininity in other people, right? I like that Ron Swanson brings out the femininity in her.
Yeah, and this vulnerability.
I really like it because I like when that happens in my own relationships, right? I like when I can be vulnerable and when I can be a masculum.
Which is funny because I'm like, ugh, no.
You don't want to be vulnerable or you don't want to be masculine?
No, I can be masculine.
You don't want to be vulnerable? You want to be vulnerable with me, Liz?
No.
I'm going to find a fan fiction piece that makes you cry, and we'll talk about it.
Ew, with sex?
Why
does that
make you cry?
No.
It's so sweet.
Absolutely not.
challenges?
I think for me it was the possession.
Yeah.
And then I mean,
is it the emotional possession? God damn it. That's a hard word. Plus, I did take a big swig of wine.
You did. It was good.
Is it the physical? Is it the emotional? Like, what part of the possession?
I liked the marking. Big fan. Mm-hmm. I was not, truthfully, anytime I see, like, I'm your,
you are to say you're my woman. I'm your woman. Like, fuck that. I don't want that. No, I'm my own person.
Interesting.
And I'm a woman. And that's hot because I'm like strong, but I don't want that to be equated with like, you are mine. And I am like, I don't know.
I get it. In a non-sexual way, Megan and I talk about this a lot in terms of possession and pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride. I'm gonna butcher this, and I apologize to Megan and to everyone. But like, there's something about like pride is not a yogic thing, right? It's not very yogic to have pride in something.
Yeah.
But it's still important to recognize, you know, that it happens, right? And so like, I don't know. I actually don't know what I'm saying at all. I wish Megan were closer, but she's not.
Wow. I feel like the part two that I then would be okay with, like, yep, she was his woman, is part two of this. Like, she takes a dildo or a strap on and like fucks the shit out of Ron.
And brings out the feminine in him.
Brings
absolutely.
Out the vulnerability in him. And like, that's part two for me. If we're going to do this, then I also need to see the full arc of her owning him and then him shouting like, I am yours, or like, I am your
man. Yeah, there wasn't enough of that in the implications of sex. There wasn't enough of like, it's all him giving and him doing.
Correct.
And there's not a lot about what she does.
Right.
Which is interesting in thinking about, all right, I'm going to click on to the author's page because we've got Kashia 515 and the image is a cartooned character fishing up a Squirtle with cool sunglasses on. He's part of the Squirtle Squad.
Amazing.
But Kashia feels like a very feminine name. So let's look. All right. Mm-hmm. Author has written seven. Oh, Canadian.
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian. I didn't even think about that. author has written seven stories for Harry Potter, Helsing, Static Shock, Lord of the Flies, Uran, High School, Host Club, Parks and Rec, and The Fast and the Fury as a baby.
Yeah, baby.
So my name is Kashia. My name is Kashia. Mm-hmm. I am, at the moment, 23 years old.
Okay, that was in 2016.
I'm currently attending university and am a double major, creative writing and literature major. I plan on getting a master's in library science and becoming a librarian.
Are you
becoming
kidding?
A librarian?
Kashia, be my librarian.
Can you imagine?
Yes, I can.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Hey, I'm in the library and the library's so boring, guys. Did you know our librarian writes fucking fan fiction about Parks and Recreation? The library is now the coolest place in the world.
I hope, here's what I hope for Kashia. I hope she's a librarian now, and I hope that she writes fanfic and then puts them in the pages of actual books.
Just hides them around the library like a fucking national treasure ass hunt.
Oh,
going,
God.
Don't read this boring science book. Let's read The Fuel Cap Is On Too Tight, So Watch Out, It Might Ignite. My Fast and Furious fan fiction from 2016. Oh my God. And there, okay, listen, I currently write for myself and for commission. I do not take requests unless I explicitly say I'm open to them. If I do commissions, I charge a penny a word.
Holy.
And I don't ask for payment until I finish the story. On a separate note, I am always open for conversation about anything. Story Potholes, in need of a beta, in need of an alpha, want to just talk about how our character shouldn't have died or why one of them should. I'm completely to open conversation. Be on our podcast.
Be on our podcast, please. Kashia, be on our podcast now.
Let's talk about I Must Ask You for More Meat. And then,
here's the thing. You know who's going to write? You know who's going to write what I need? We need the prologue. And then we need the. Mm-hmm. I'll take it out.
All right, you got.
I'll take it out of my salary.
We got the budget for both.
Yep.
We can't get you your crossover and your
Smut and Sensibility is now taking donations at Smut and Sensibility on Venmo for the commission.
Baby, we got some writing to do.
Come on, Kashia. Holy!
Oh my God, I love
this.
This
is great. Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, I didn't even make any. I didn't make any guesses before I clicked over because I was so excited. Is that what I would have said? I don't know. It doesn't even matter.
I
because
thought
we have
it
to
was
talk about this other piece real quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I also thought it was a guy.
Yeah.
Or I thought it was I thought it was a man. I thought it was a he, him pronoun user.
Yes.
Because I don't know. I guess because going back to the unsolicited feeling of the one shot, it really does feel like
I'm gonna write you some Parks and Rec fanfic. Here you go. I hope you enjoy it.
Hope you like it.
Here, this is for Jennifer. I hope you like it.
But I don't think it is. I think it's your librarian.
It's your librarian, and it is. They had a conversation at the Stacks, and they were like, you know what? I love fanfic, and I love Parks and Rec. And Kashua was like, you know what? I'm gonna hook you up.
Yeah, Jennifer was like, man, I've always thought that Ron Swanson and Donna Meagle should fuck.
Should fuck.
And then
she was like, oh my God, me too. Hold on.
First of all, it's a library. You got to whisper. Second of all,
don't be late on your returns.
And also, you owe us 25 cents for that.
I wonder if her fines also commission more new work.
I hope that our fines are only in sensual amounts. I hope that it's like, oh, you owe us $69 in late fees. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? I had this book for 2 days. And then she takes down her hair.
I can't get out. Are we rating this before we go on to the next adventure?
Listen, we're going to rate this. We're going to pretend that this is the only thing that happens in this episode.
That I gave you?
Because you sent me some weird last minute... It's not garbage.
No, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Let's rate this one first.
I give this one a erotically.
Erotically,
I rate this episode. this entry as I'm gonna give it a 7.
Okay.
And that's really following my gut because I know we didn't see any of the boinkage. I know it's all boinkage implied.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like
boinkage
it. And it did arouse me. It's
me
a
too.
7, closer to a 6 than an 8, but okay. I give it a 7.
Okay,
you?
See, and I was going to give it a 6, but I agree. It might be 6.5 because there were many moments in this show that I was going, that's kind of hot. Oh, okay. Go.
I would be appalled if this were not a write what you know moment. Because this, the feelings inherent in this piece, I would venture that a majority of people, a majority of sexual adults have felt the sexual feelings that they would write about in fan fiction, regardless of whether or not they'd experienced them, right? You can be horny and write about horniness without having experienced things. A lot of these feelings, I think, are a lot more difficult to feel if you haven't personally had them.
Yeah, it's so much more descriptive. So descriptive. Ugh.
And honestly, I find that kind of erotic. Feelings are erotic too.
Yeah.
Not just ding-dongs and holes.
Can.
Literally, I like it. Again, I don't love it. I you know what it feels like? I don't think this is the case. And
what does it feel like?
When
feel
I
like
was working under a
writing?
He, him assumption, no. It felt like someone was writing while actively, like, it feels
shpoinking.
like one shot. Yeah, well, not spoinking, but self-spoinking. Like, it feels like they sat down and wrote it and got hornier and hornier as they wrote it. And that sort of, left them a little less able to write. Because the beginning is so descriptive and so deep.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little clippier towards the end and a little less descriptive. And you know, we don't get paragraphs anymore. We get real, short lines.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 6 because I think Kashua, great. Because I think if you really refocused your efforts, you might write things a little differently towards the end. I feel like my impression was getting a little excited.
If you would stop masturbating for 5 seconds to Ron Swanson, then
that's
maybe.
That's all I'm trying to say.
I did like
Get
the
your
pun.
Head out of your pants did. While you're writing.
Well, is not the bait.
Or don't.
Or don't, or just, you know. I hope Jennifer liked it. I think the real question is, did Jennifer get off?
This person comes on the podcast, that is going to be the first question we ask them.
What was Jennifer?
Did Jennifer like it?
Did she like it? vague.
Did Jennifer like it? And okay, faithfulness. Now here's the
source
thing.
Material. David,
is it faithful to the source material?
Tell me what you think, and then I'll tell you why you're correct.
I think that this is. I think this is an eight, and here's why. I almost gave it a nine.
I gave it a nine, David.
Okay, you give it a nine. I give it an eight. I think that's fine. I don't buy the overt sexuality, the overt public sexuality at the end.
Oh, I agree.
Ron and Donna smooching in the office at this stage in their relationship,
where
some of the appeal of it is exactly some of the appeal of it is that it's kind of secret, kind of taboo.
Ooh, yeah. It's like a good showmance that you want to keep from the cast.
Ooh, yeah. I dated someone once, and we, over the summer, we did a job where we worked with a furniture moving company at my college, and we pretended that we didn't know each other so that we could fall in love on the job.
Oh my god, and also schmoink.
So that we would get like assigned to things together. Like, all right, the two of you go. We'll be like, oh, okay, we'll go together. And that's, I think that's a little more in line with the world of this story than
Yes, and I felt like they were going to come to work and he was gonna like pretend it never happened, or like ignore her, or like bring her into his office to like, you know, tell her how she got something incorrectly or like incorrect, and then just like lay her down on the desk. Like, that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
But alas, and like continue to spank her, right? Because, ooh.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Who doesn't want a Ron Swanson spank?
You know where that happens? It happens in the second piece that Liz sent me, which is Ron Swanson x Jerry Gergich by Adam Savage Lover.
It is exactly what I hoped never existed, but boy, oh boy. Boy on
it's,
boy.
It's Ron, boy v boy.
Boy v boy.
It's
boy in boy. It is boy in boy. It is boy on boy.
Doinkin. Yep, Jerry's in the office, working late. Gail and the girls are away. Ron's in his office, and Jerry hears some sound that's like,
fap, fap.
Maybe that's the air conditioner, but it's the fap.
Fap,
it
fap.
Had the consistent noise that a regular person would recognize as the fap, fap of a man masturbating. Come on. Come fap, on, fap. Adam Savage Lover. Have we, this is where things got familiar and I got confused. Adam Savage Lover, I feel like maybe I've come across before. Wow, they've got some interesting stuff on their docket. But Jerry walks in, sees Ron masturbating, walks into the room profusely apologizing, which I love, right?
You I do too. That's so Jerry. Larry,
it's
Gary.
So Jerry. He doesn't like close the door and like try to pretend it doesn't happen like a normal human being would do. He comes in going, I'm sorry. I wonder what the noise was.
Probably tripping on the way in.
Absolutely. Like his pants probably fall off while he's walking through the door. He asks, is there anything I can do to help make it up to you? And then Ron says, yeah, I want you to be my bottom, which means that Ron wants to put his stuff in Jerry's butt. And then they do. They get undressed, but Jerry's got a big Ding dong.
Huge. And of course he would. Isn't that part of the series?
And of course he would.
Of course he would. He has like a 9-inch.
Heavily implied.
He has a 9-inch cock. 9 inches.
9 inches.
Bravo, Jerry. Bravo.
Which, you know, which Ron quickly finds out because they go down on each other. Jerry first, and then Ron, you know, reciprocates saying, well, a good man returns favors.
Which I love.
Because of course he did. He has a tough time with Jerry's big dinger, but he does get it all down there. And then Ron fucks Jerry, and then Jerry fucks Ron. Ron came when he was fucking Jerry, and then he comes again, and Jerry comes. And it's just, it was so much to get this afternoon. Maybe not even, it might have been this morning. It might have been like, oh, hello,
very early
sunshine.
Morning. I was like, good morning, David.
I'm looking forward to recording with my good dear friend Liz tonight. I wonder if this is connected to the piece that she sent. Maybe this is the prologue or the epilogue that I, too, had been desiring. Oh, nope.
Hey, listen, who's to say it's not? Who's to say Ron later that day wasn't masturbating to Donna's picture, maybe, and then Jerry comes in. Who's to
say? Don't think that my mind can go there. Don't think that I didn't fucking sleep this one out, because I Must Ask You If You Want More Meat was written in August of 2016.
Yeah.
This piece was written in December of 2017. And so if we just sort of like assume that this one's like, I just put them in the same timeline.
Yeah,
I went, things with Donna didn't work out.
I was like, later that day.
I didn't think later that day.
While Donna's at lunch with Tom.
Months. I thought maybe months later. I thought maybe things had gotten too hot and heavy between Donna and Ron. Something had happened. They'd had a falling out. And so Ron's like Christerbating in his office. And just kind of goes, well, any port in a storm, I guess. Here's Jerry.
Here we go.
But here's the real problem.
Tell me.
You know the real problem?
What's the real problem, David? The fat
I probably
one?
No, that's not the problem for me. The problem is like, this is like a 9 for not eroticism. Don't get too excited, but like for faithfulness, right? Like,
yeah.
Didn't this happen? I saw this scene. I definitely saw this one.
I'm telling you, like both of them are a 9. They could absolutely happen and I wouldn't blink an eye. I'd be like, oh.
What does that say about Parks and Rec? Do you think the creators of Parks and Rec recognize that they've
thought
written
about
a very
fan
fictionable show?
Yes.
Do
absolutely.
You think they did?
Yes. Why wouldn't you? That's why that's what I would picture my episodic TV show.
Ugh, I don't
I would
know.
Hope that
I
it's deeply
know.
Rooted in fan fiction ability.
Right. You would say, here's something I've created. Now you take it and make it your own.
And make it sexual. Make it so graphically sexual. This one,
listen,
to me, ugh.
It's graphic.
It's so graphic.
I'm going to link them both. I'm not going to dignify this one with a full.
I think you already did.
Full episode. Jesus Christ. But it's wild. To that point about like creating something, I feel like, yeah, the people who created Parks and Rec were like, hey, I got to put this on like actual TV so I can't, you know, write these people.
But I hope
boinking.
Someone does.
But if you wanted to, then like, whatever, that's okay. That's,
you know,
like, that's allowed.
That's, you can do that. You know what I loved is that in this, Ron also still is so caring. Like, yes, animalistic, yes, possessive, I guess, still. But also he's, like, sharing is caring. He also was like, a good man returns the favor, so I'm gonna put my mouth hole on your pee-pee. And
well,
then,
he does say that, but he also says, all right, bitch, get on your
bitch,
stomach.
Get on your stomach. Very shortly after,
like that,
actually.
Bitch, take my cock.
That's true.
Was,
okay.
That's what so keeps it from being a 10 for me.
Yeah,
I also
I get that. But tell me if it hurts, Jerry. Why?
I bet Ron Swanson's not a talker during sex.
You don't think? I think he just does.
I think that might be a difference between Ron Swanson and Nick Offerman, is I'm sure that Nick Offerman is a very communicative lover, but I feel like Ron Swanson probably just like guides
moans.
You with his body and hands.
Yep.
Well, now I want Ron Swanson.
What do we think he shouts when he comes? If he's just like, does he shout his name, do you think?
I think we should ask that of every piece now. That should be another thing we rated on. Is what do you think this character shouts when they orgasm?
I feel like it's just his name.
I think it's just, it's animal. It's just, I think Jerry like apologizes.
Like, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm going to come. I'm so sorry. I'm going to come.
I wonder if Ron Swanson like shouts his like breakfast order.
Yeah, there's definitely some bacon involved in there somewhere. Mm-hmm, I think that's when he gets really intimate with someone. He's like, hey, I want to introduce some stuff into the bedroom. And they're like, ooh, whips or chains bacon. Or whatever. He's like, bacon.
Bacon. It's always bacon.
I want to eat bacon off your ass.
I mean,
I wasn't talking to you, Liz. I was talking to, but like, yeah, I do.
Yes, of course,
not you, Liz, but like, I want to eat bacon off a lover's
Megan's
ass.
Megan's ass. Yes.
Great. Yeah, Adam Savage Lover.
You did it.
Man, you did it.
You absolutely did it.
You did it. And Adam's Adam Savage Lover. Adam Savage of Mythbusters fame. Adam Savage is one of the guys from Mythbusters.
Is it Fred Savage's brother? No.
Nobody knows. And the day that this author joined fanfiction.net, they published a piece of Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman fanfiction. The next day, this piece came out. With Homer Simpson and Groundskeeper Willie.
Fascinating.
Then they took a little bit of time off, but came back with Jim Gaffigan's truck stop experience.
One-on-one. It's just Jim Gaffigan. It's legit just him. Ooh, can we read this next?
Wait, is it? No. It's somebody else. It's there's a character named Corey, but I think it's.
But like Corey is supposed to be you. Are you Corey? Oh yeah.
You can be Corey. Hey, you can be Corey if you want to be Corey.
I am Corey.
So I think what we've found is that the world of Parks and Recreation is just ultimately is very, very fan fictionable.
Mm-hmm. And it's everything I've ever wanted and more.
Except the crossover, but we're going
to
work on it.
Now I just need a crossover, and Kashia is going to give it to me.
Did they ever do a The Office and Parks and Rec crossover, or would that be the most expensive thing to ever happen?
I don't believe they did, but I could very well be wrong.
They should. It's quarantine. Come on.
Now's the time. Please give us what we want.
Give Liz what she craves.
Give me what I want. Give me what I'm craving.
So congratulations, Kashia 515. Congratulations, I guess.
Adam Savage Lover.
And congratulations, Liz, on really just
going there.
Really just going there. Mm-hmm. And really unapologetically going there. But I will have my revenge. I haven't had my revenge yet.
You haven't.
That's the thing. What you like Parks and Rec.
I love Parks and Rec.
How am I gonna what can I ruin for you?
You can't ruin anything because I am the type of person who's like, yeah, okay.
All right, I'll find it. I'm gonna find it.
I don't know.
Not today.
I am excited and I challenge you. I challenge
I'm gonna put my head together with my favorite new librarian and we're gonna find something.
The glove has been thrown. Do it.
Great. Then let's be done for now. My name is David Laws.
I'm Liz McMonagle.
This has been Smut and Sensibility, an erotic book club. I'm going to go eat a hamburger.
And I'm not.
Oh.
I'm going to have more wine.
Yay.
Yay. Ending on a good note. Is this a postscript?
We're going to put a record scratch in there. Tell them what you just told me.
What I wanted to share with you and my friends is the fact that I, while doing other things, I also want to make sure I'm up to par and know what we're going to be discussing. So I have Siri read me the text for our choices. And this is what this specific part two of Jerry and Ron sounds like.
Jerry pushed even deeper, and Ron gasped in pain, but pushed back on his dick. As to take more, Jerry began faster thrusts, not quite all the way in yet, but but got closer with each thrust. Oh,
that's
yes,
a crime.
Please,
you're
more
doing a
Jerry
crime against
Ron gave up
Siri.
The half-assed attempt. Wait, at Jerry being his bitch and started moaning and groaning like a slut. Jerry picked up speed before finally getting all the way in. Ron flipped
says,
over
Coom.
Onto his back and started stroking his own dick, both men moaning in intense pleasure. Finally, Jerry groaned and filled Ron's asshole with cum. At the exact moment,
no,
another orgasm. Ron,
don't make fun
said,
of Siri.
Are you up for some more?
Make,
Jerry smiled and
turn
went
that
back
off.
Down on Ron's dick.
I feel like that's doing our job for us. Like,
tell me that isn't what you want to listen to a whole 7 pages of fanfic.
How do you comprehend any of that?
Well, that's what Greg asked too. And you really have
the answer
to focus.
Is I don't.
you really have to focus. But sometimes I actually, because it's like I'm such an, and I think we've talked about this. Like, I want to hear someone speak all of these stories because that's how I get more information, and like then I can like visualize it and it's
sure.
like sexier for me. So I was like, oh, I have a great idea. I'm going to make Siri talk it to me. And then I realized that
and
is a terrible
just,
idea.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's a crime and the police are going to be at your house to come and arrest you because you're going to jail for crimes against Siri. That's
Jerry
all.
Goes down on Ron's dick and then he cooms in his ass. It's so it's exactly
right.
What I never knew I needed.
Now it really is over. I'm gonna go drown my phone in coom. Bye.
Go drown your I hate everything.
2, 3, 4 Please, I'm down with the bad news.
Hosted on dimlywit.com.